none of us in the spiritual life is on the same level. We are all different. We're so different. Even in the natural order, we're different. Remember the old saying, which the FBI will testify and the CIA, no two people have the same set of fingerprints. We're even different in our bodies. We're different in our mind. We're different in our psychic makeup. And we're different supernaturally also. Everybody has their gifts from God. And everyone is on a little different level in relationship to God. There's an old saying in the spiritual life, and it's also true in our natural life, be yourself. Be supernaturally yourself. You have to be yourself in relationship to God. In God's providence, each one of us is called to be different. God, of course, knows all things. Everything is laid out before Him in an eternal now. He lives in the present. He has no past and no future. So each one of us has been known by God from all eternity without beginning. Every hair of our head was counted even before the world began. And St. Paul says, we were chosen in Christ before the world began. Mysterious, isn't it? But He gave each one of us our parents, the circumstances of our birth, our family life, our education. Yesterday we talked about each one of us has received now 2,000 years of Catholic heritage. Been handed to us, a gift from God. And all those circumstances, the people you meet, your husband, your children, your home, all the circumstances of your life, and the way your life is intertwined with the lives of other people, you know, our lives are absolutely amazing. If you look at the story of your life, I'm writing the story of my life at the request of some people, not that there's anything much there as far as anything thrilling is concerned, but how did you end up in the church? Well, that's an interesting question. Maybe it'll help somebody else think about entering the church. But as I did that, as I made notes, I began to run the camera backwards, and I'm amazed at all the circumstances and the people I've met. When you reflect on how incredibly complex life is, and all of that is under the providential care of God. He's put us in certain places to do certain things for His honor and glory and for our salvation and the salvation of our neighbor, whoever that may be. Now we have to consciously and deliberately lock into those circumstances where God has placed us. The vocation He has given us or will give us, and the circumstances of our lives do change, and we're given little new twists and turns to our vocation, we need to cooperate at every step of the journey. First of all, to be supernaturally ourselves, we have to accept and reaffirm our vocation in life. My vocation is not marriage. It's the priesthood, which is a celibate state. For somebody else, it's the religious life. And for them, to profess and live the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience in a religious community, that's where God wants them to be. for married people also to be parents. And to be parents of these children is a calling in life. To be grandparents is also a calling in life. There are many vocations. We don't just have one. We have many callings, all sort of interlocking. Some of our vocations are permanent. The vocation to baptism lasts for an eternity. Some vocations are temporary. Marriage is a temporary vocation. It terminates at the moment of death. Though I hasten to add that husband and wife in this life will indeed be very special friends in the next. The vocation of the priesthood never terminates. We're priests forever. The call or the vocation to go to school doesn't last forever. It's a temporary calling or circumstance in life that God arranges. And someday you quit going to school. The call to do a certain kind of work, to have a certain employment. Someday we will retire. And that will be over. And there'll be something else to do. It's a temporary calling. Or to live in this neighborhood and to belong to this parish community could be a temporary vocation or calling. And there are many of those throughout life. So as each one of us looks at himself and herself and where God has placed us, it gets to be amazing, really, when you reflect on it. Because all of this is under the umbrella of God's loving providence. That He is looking out for our needs and He is taking good care of us. Even though we are ungrateful and often are sinful and make many stupid mistakes. Be supernaturally yourself then means that in the circumstances in which God has placed me, I try to respond to the grace of the moment or the circumstances that He arranges by His providence. Now, as I look at myself and I look at my own spiritual life, some of us, I doubt any of us would be classified as infants, but some of us spiritually are like children. As I said yesterday, we are into the second generation of religious illiterates in the United States. I know that's a harsh term, but I think we need to throw a bucket of cold water every now and then to wake people up. People deprived of the Catholic heritage by the sins of clergy and religious. God help all of us. On Judgment Day. But those people who are not catechized or not catechized properly need to learn the rudiments of the faith and build their knowledge of their Catholic faith supernaturally, spiritually speaking. They're in grade school. It's not their fault. Nothing to be ashamed of. But something you need to do something about. That's why I think a consistent, organized study of the faith. Father Hardin's catechism would be a good instrument. It's very necessary. Somebody else has a good background in the faith. They were taught well. And so, they're more on the high school level, supernaturally speaking. They need to build on that. Everybody needs to grow, no matter where you are, in relationship to the Catholic faith, but also in relationship to prayer. We're not all on the same level. We have to remember in our relation with God, perhaps you've heard of the terminology, that there are three levels to the spiritual life. There are the beginners who are in the purgative state. They're being purged of their sins. People who struggle just to stay in the state of grace may be for them a great accomplishment. They struggle to overcome vices and weaknesses. That concupiscence that Father talked about in the first conference this morning, because we all have a fallen human nature. We're damaged. So, struggling to overcome that, the purgative way, and then a person makes progress in their prayer life, and they enter upon the illuminative way. God sends lights, and they pray better, and they grow and they mature in their prayer life. And for some, they reach the unitive state where they are united habitually with God, recalling Him, loving Him, day by day, sometimes almost in a continuous manner. You know, the fullness of the spiritual life is open to every member of the church and is the normal development of baptism. Is reaffirmed in the Second Vatican Council, which explicitly says that the treasures of the Church's mystical doctrine, that would be Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross and all the other doctors of the Church, are supposed to be open to all the faithful. It's part of our heritage. Some people, in their spiritual life, or at the first stage, some are in the second, and some are even in the third. We never stay exactly the same. There is no such thing in our relationship with God as coming to a halt and staying in one position, in one place, or on one level. If we try to stop and rest, we will begin going backwards. We always have to be moving forward. Sometimes, in trying to move forward in our relationship with God, we get tired. We get discouraged. That's a good sign you're making progress. Because the feeling of devotion vanishes, and we are left high and dry. God is asking us to trust Him and to depend upon Him totally and completely. We have to seize the opportunity of the moment. So don't give up and say, "I'll rest a while." You'll begin going backwards. Finally, you'll become tepid, lukewarm. In extreme cases, a person can even go backwards and lapse back into a sinful state of life. It can happen. So we're all meant to keep moving, to be supernaturally ourselves in God's providence in our lives, always to be making progress. We really can't measure our progress too well. We may be, as Archbishop Sheen said once, we may be surprised when we arrive at the judgment to find out how holy we really are. We just don't know. Or we may be surprised that we're not as holy as we thought we were. We don't know that either. I think there'll be a lot of surprises. But I believe if we are aware of our walk with God, if we are aware of how His providence has been disposing and organizing our lives, which are very complex, even the simplest is complex, and if we really pray that His grace somehow will cover over everything, take care of our sins. He died on the cross for us. He's with us in the Eucharist. The future that we don't see and don't understand, only dimly perceive, He's already out there in our future, waiting for us. He knows us from the first moment of our conception to the moment of our natural death, and beyond that into our eternity. If we keep praying for ourselves and asking God for the grace to put the whole course of our lives under the influence of His divine care, we're going to make it. We'll make it to heaven. We'll not only make it to heaven, we're going to carry an awful lot of people with us. People we will influence in our families, in other communities, in other areas. A whole lot of people were going to go through the gates of heaven, riding on our influence and our grace, because we became God's co-workers. We worked with Him and under Him as we attempted to live our lives according to His divine plan. In doing all this, I think in conclusion, we always need to remember the prayers of Mary, the mother of Jesus, that she is very concerned that all of us, her children, will make it through life, through all those stages and grades as we climb the mountain of the Lord and finally reach Him at the end of our lives. She's pulling for us. She's concerned about us, just like a mother would be concerned for her children. And her overwhelming desire, her sole concern, is to see us united with her divine Son, so all of us together can cry out, "Holy, holy, holy," and the happiness and glory of heaven forever. Let's stand now and present our needs and concerns to the Lord. We pray for the needs of the universal church and for its universal pastor, Pope John Paul II, for his good health, for God's protection and support, as He ministers to the church and to the whole world. For all of His needs, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer for Cardinal Bernardine and the auxiliary bishops of Chicago and the priests, religious, and lay people of the Archdiocese. God will sustain all of them in their vocations. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray, too, for all religious throughout the world, especially those communities that are in a process of disintegration, that God will sustain those who remain faithful to the church's vision of religious life. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. And for all those who are missionaries carrying God's word throughout the world, in particular in the former Eastern Bloc countries and the former Soviet Union and Yugoslavia, the Lord will sustain His church in a time of difficulty and trial. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. And for an increased response to vocations, to the priesthood, religious life, and Christian marriage, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all the faithful departed, especially our own, the members of our families, the Lord would grant all them eternal rest in mansions of light and peace forever. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pause now and in silence bring to our Father in heaven our own personal needs and concerns. And for all of these, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Father, answer our prayers as you know best. For your honor and glory and for our salvation, and we make all our petitions through Christ our Lord. Amen.